It's 20 minutes before the hour on a Thursday morning. This is Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Neil Stave. I'm sitting in for Peter Kapsner. Domestic Violence Awareness Month is every October, and communities across the nation join together to recognize the prevalence of domestic violence and honor those who have been affected. And it's happening not only in our homes, but in our schools and, sadly, our places of worship and work. And to help us find our way through and out is Justin Holcomb. He returns to Faith Radio. He's a priest, a professor, and he's written several books, including Is It My Fault? Hope and Healing for Those Suffering Domestic Violence, Rid of My Disgrace, Hope and Healing for Victims of Sexual Assault. And appreciate Justin's insights and encouragement. Justin, welcome back to the program.
It's always great to be back with you, Neil, and I'm glad we're talking about dark issues and bringing the good news and light of the gospel to them.
Well, you know, after the Supreme Court hearing, justice hearings, you know, I'm wondering if we've learned anything, but maybe, you know, where do we go from here and respond, perhaps, and react differently to the issue of sexual assault violence?
Well, the first thing that I think the church needs to do is realize that its identity is found in the person and work of Jesus, and that's what we should mostly be about. What's been very just saddening to me is that when we had, during the whole Kavanaugh thing, and just so everyone knows, I am a registered independent. I'm a minister first, and politics is important. I've been involved and volunteered, so I just want to make sure that everyone knows I'm not arguing for one side or the other. I'm taking this as an opportunity. The Kavanaugh thing is an opportunity to reflect on it. What was disheartening with how many Christians that I know sounded first like either Republicans or Democrats, and their Christian identity didn't seem to really influence much of the conversation. They spoke like political side takers, not members of the kingdom of God following Jesus Christ. And that's what was just disheartening, because the church should be the place that is the example of how a vulnerable people are treated, how sexual harassment and sexual abuse is really low, domestic abuse is really low accounts in the church. They should be like the shining light of what healthy relationships look like. But what we're seeing is that the church also has cover-ups, and that's been in the news. And so if the church would respond, I think the church should pay attention to how Jesus responded to those who are marginalized and outcast. He had his harshest words for the Pharisees, the religious, and otherwise pretty intense Pharisees. That's where all of his woe are you, beware, watch out. His tender words were for those that were marginalized and outcast. That should set the tone for what our conversations actually look like. But Christians just seem addicted to being in the halls of power and influence, and sometimes that is a calling. I mean, there are people. It is hard for Christians to serve in the powers of influence and the halls of influence. But we just seem so addicted to it, and that just seems we sound like political pundits first and Christians second too often. And I wish the church would have a different tone.
If changed our conversation with the kingdom of God as our focus, maybe what would that look like? Is it using words that Jesus used, or speaking softer, or what would that be like?
I think it would look like two different things: mercy and justice. So it would look like because it doesn't mean just victim advocacy. It should mean at least that, which is advocating for those who are disempowered. But it also looks like if you've investigated and you find out that an abuse has taken place, then it looks like mercy for that person who's abused and seeking justice for the person that has abused. There's still forgiveness, but forgiveness and justice can actually go together. Or if there is an accusation, investigating it and finding out the accusation is actually true and pursuing justice to make sure accusations are true. But Christians need to know, churches need to know, false accusations of sexual assault are lower than 2%, there are fewer percentage accusations of false accusations for sexual assault than any other crime. It's actually a crime for which most people don't even report it, let alone falsely report it. So a lot of the conversation that was taking place was on false accusations. And Christians are called for justice, too. Just because someone says they were assaulted does not mean we just jump on the bandwagon. You actually have to investigate and look at the truth and be loyal to the truth, not loyal to a political party. So I think it would look like having a plan for both mercy and justice as one place. And then the other one would be realizing the importance of actually listening to those that are speaking up. Instead of being annoyed at the Me Too or Church Too movement, actually listening and saying, you know what, I might not agree with everything that's being said. I agree with a lot of it, just so everyone knows. But, you know, if you don't agree with it, listening to the people who are telling some of the worst things that have ever happened to them in their life, and a lot of people are feeling empowered to do that finally and actually speak up. It is most sexual assault crimes and sins go unreported to the authorities, civil authorities and church authorities. Most of them go unreported. And for people to finally be speaking up is a moment for us to actually listen to those that have been abused and had some of the worst things happen to them in their life.
We'll continue a conversation with Justin Holcomb in a moment. I do want to talk to Justin about maybe what kind of practices do we, maybe as a body of Christ, as a church, put in place so that we become a place where hope and healing can take place. Justin Holcomb has served as a priest and a professor of theology and philosophy and a writer, works on behalf of those who have been abused. He's written several books, including Is It My Fault? And Rid of My Disgrace, and we'll talk more with Justin in a moment. It's 47 past the hour. It's 11 minutes before the hour, talking with Justin Holcomb today. Justin, among other things, serves on several boards, including the board of Grace, Godly Response to Abuse in Christian Environments. And Justin, in the minutes we have left, let's talk about maybe how churches can reestablish their practices and principles so that they can become a place of hope and healing.
Well, that board, that ministry, Grace, Godly Response to Abuse in Christian Environments, has a certification program where we actually work with churches and train them on a few things. How do you recognize abuse? Like, what is abuse and how do you recognize it? People need to be trained in that, especially church leaders. All different types of abuse. And how do you respond to it? Is another one. When there's an allegation of abuse, what does justice for both people, the alleged perpetrator and the alleged survivor, what does justice look like, but what does mercy look like? And then how do you prevent abuse within the church? What are the policies and procedures? So being a culture that is protective but also vigilant, and so that's one. Another is Christians thinking through, and this is why my wife and I wrote Rid of My Disgrace, our book for sexual assault survivors, is what does the good news and the grace of God, because of the person and work of Jesus Christ, his life, his death, his resurrection, the fact that he's on his throne now and he's coming back again, what do all of those different dimensions of the good news of the kingdom, how does that grace connect with the feeling of disgrace that survivors have? I was abused when I was 11 by an extended family member, and I know the sense of shame and disgrace. And so I'm using the word disgrace because it's the word that Tamar in 2 Samuel used when she was abused by her brother. Who will rid me of my disgrace? So how Christians, we need to be really creative and clear about how the good news of the grace of God influences the points of disgrace that so many people have experienced because of the abuse that they've suffered.
Such an important strategy to be creative and clear about understanding and dispensing God's grace. Well, that's so needed today in a variety of fronts, but certainly in this area.
Well, the bullseye, this obvious of the person and work of Jesus, is the forgiveness of sins. I mean, the Apostle Paul, Peter, James, all the New Testament writers have basically said Jesus died and rose again for your sins. So forgiveness of sins is obviously the bullseye. I had one woman I was speaking to, and when I told her that she was a victim of a sin and a crime, and I said, you aren't to blame for this, I'm so sorry what happened to you, she got angry at me. And I didn't understand why she got – I thought I was giving her good news. And she said, you're unplugging me from the grace of God because I need to be responsible for this so I can be forgiven of it. That's the only way the grace of God applies. Well, what that meant was she had only one lane to drive in the gospel lane, and that was forgiveness of sins. And I said, oh, no. There's other things that the grace of God that Jesus has done that apply to this. He rose again from the dead, which means that he's conquered Satan, sin, hell, death, and the grave. And that means that the suffering you've experienced is not the last word on you. Resurrection and new life is the last word on you. So resurrection applies to this, not just his death on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. The fact that he's coming back, his second coming, applies to this because he's coming back to get his own and bring justice. And so you can get off the hamster wheel of revenge because he is more angry than you are at the sin and crime done to you. The fact that he lived a perfect life, I mean, because he fulfilled the law perfectly and was sinless, he's righteous. And so he gives us, the language from the Apostle Paul is imputed righteousness, is given, is bestowed because of his perfect life. And if we're in Christ, we are considered righteous, pure, perfect, and holy. Those are Bible words used for people who are in Christ, have faith in Christ. So his perfect life, his obedience, is also relevant for our shame and for our identity. So expanding, looking at what Jesus has done, and expanding the scope of how all of that applies to the various points of pain. That's when I talk about being creative. I don't mean getting creative with our doctrine at all. I mean leaning on our doctrine of the person and work of Jesus to see what are some points of contact that we might not have thought about before.
Justin, we just have 2 minutes left here before our time is gone. But in those minutes, could you just give us a word about how we might respond to someone who maybe opens up and tells us today, this is my experience, this is what I've gone through?
Absolutely. I love that question. Thank you. There have been some studies that have asked survivors, what's the most helpful thing that has been done in response to you telling your story to someone? You know, was it the counseling? Was it the pursuing justice? What was it? And the top of the list every time is, number one, is being listened to and believed. What listeners can be encouraged by is that you don't have to have a master's in counseling. You don't have to be a pastor, an ordained minister, to be able to be an agent of great news. One of the most important things you can do is listen to someone and believe them, which means just looking at them and saying, I am so sorry that that happened. Thank you for having the courage to actually say that out loud. If you want to even tell me more, you're welcome to. But literally showing that you're listening and believing and actually articulating that is really helpful. In the back of our book, we have an appendix, and it's available online, on things to say and not say. You don't need to get into the deep theology of how does evil exist and God being good. You don't have to get into theologizing and theologically editing their story. Actually just saying, you know, God's sorrowful. Join him in his sorrow of what happened to you, and God's also angry at what happened to you, and you can join him in the anger. Anger's not a sin, so that can be some really helpful things. The other is asking them, you know, do you want to talk about this again? Is there a tangible way that I can serve you? Do you want to go? You know, encouraging them to file a report with the civil authorities to. If possible, pursue justice within the church if it happened in a Christian environment. So also pursuing what does medical, psychological, and spiritual health look like and encouraging them that they should do that, that they are deserving of having, you know, pursuing health, that they're not damaged goods, helping bestow to them their identity in Christ and undermine the lie that they are damaged goods, filthy, and not worth being cared for.
Justin, what's the website you mentioned, the appendix available online? What's the best place to check?
JustinHolcomb.com, Justin, HolcomB.com. And just look for the tab for sexual assault, and there will be things to say and not say. It's actually called, the post is things to say and not say. and it just has a list of like 10 or 15 on each side.
Look forward to checking that out as a great resource. Justin, thank you once again for coming on, for your encouragement. Justin, joining us today, one of his books is called Rid of My Disgrace, Hope and Healing for Victims of Sexual Assault. We're going to wrap up today's Faith Radio Mornings in just a minute. Appreciate Justin Holcomb's encouragement today, and I hope you were challenged and encouraged by it as well. JustinHolcomb.com is his website, and it's a resource that we all need to be aware of and look for ways that we can represent the grace of God. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow here on Faith Radio Mornings.